Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Moves up and takes the lead, but Mr. Brightside's challenging. Mr. Brightside up to Alligator Blood. Cascadian late. Mr. Brightside in front. And Mr. Brightside has won the mile from Cascadian. The Inevitable has a really good buffer. 200 to go. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserves at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the night. Zaki joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaki. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Oh, she's too good. They can't beat her. In time I so untold, I'm just another soul for sale. Oh, well. The beach is out of prayers. We are not permanent.
G'day, listeners, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast, where we will be previewing Champions Day at Flemington with three Group 1s on the card. It is, of course, the Champions Sprint, the Champions Mile, and the Champions Stakes is what the day is named after, previously known as the McKinnon. I think it has taken over as the best of the 4 days of the Flemington Melbourne Cup Carnival. But the two things we really have to contend with is horses potentially over the top and the rail being out so far. We know it has played on pace over the past few years, especially when that southerly wind comes in. My name is Ben Coluzzi. I'm your host. I'm joined, as always, by Will the Bot Alford and Nick McGualter. Fellas, how has Melbourne Cup Week treated you?
Tricky. Very tricky week. Lots of, you know, unexpected winning. We saw that yesterday with Knight's Choice winning Melbourne Cup. 300 to 1 they were betting call a card on Tuesday.
And that was still unders.
Yeah, I had it thousands. So lucky we didn't do a preview podcast for the Melbourne Cup. Otherwise, I'd be I'd be very embarrassing. But
yeah, anyway. I was just thinking that.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a good. I thought it was a great Melbourne Cup. There were 91,000 people there on yesterday. So, perfect weather. So, great racing.
Yeah, and all 23 horses came home safely, which is very important. Nicholas, how do you...
Wonder why that is.
Yeah, well. Nick, how was your day? I don't suppose you watched the great race, the race at Subsonation.
No, I did not watch the race. I didn't watch the race until the evening, and it was purely... I thought I had to watch it because for podcast purposes, I did not watch the race live. I said that I wasn't going to watch it, and I had no real interest in it. And then when I saw the result, I didn't really want to watch it anyway. What a farce of a race. That all should be 600 to 1. And yeah, it might be the race that stopped a lot of people's nations, but it certainly didn't stop mine. I had a great day with some friends. I had some people over for a barbecue. I had quality company. It was a good day. Apart from that, God bless Fancify. Backed him at 18 to 1 on Monday night, so that was
trumpet.
That was nice.
Not slips, mate.
Typical that the Jap horse was probably a moral beat in the stupid race anyway. That was crook. Long range futures play on that certainly wasn't fantastic. But anyway, the real race that stops the nation, the big dance was a good race. Full credit to Tommy Berry from Barrier 23 to get the horse to where he did with Gringotts. I didn't think that was possible the slightest. Tabby Time, he ran well for us, Ben, but obviously not well enough. They don't pay just for running well. So anyway, it is what it is. Yeah, I hope all 90,000 people that were at Flemington enjoyed the farcical race. Young Brugger probably would have won by 15 lengths. But yet he wasn't sound enough to grace Forbes' fucking talented eye. So that's good. Hopefully he goes to Hong Kong and belts him up and she'll look like an even more of an idiot than she already does. But anyway, let's get into this week's racing.
Just on Hong Kong, some breaking news that Liberty Island, the very good Japanese mare, will go to the Hong Kong Cup and take on Romantic Warrior. So there's a bit of $10 available on Sportsbet if you're quick enough. If
probably won't be available podcast. By the time this drops.
Probably not, because I'm backing it and I'm tipping it out to my subscribers. So there you go. Quick recap. There were two horses I marked 300 to 1 in the cup. They were trusting you in and Knight's Choice, so that completely ruined my day. Warp Speed would have been a good result for me and would have been the difference between me having an okay day and not. But anyway, that was the cup. Back to Saturday, Botta, we saw three very, very good winners. Switzerland put his hand up in the Coolmore as one of the best sprinters in the land, rated to better than 105. Third up, just had a sense of timing about him, well ridden by J-Mac. It was the same recipe, third up, that Home Affairs followed a few years back. We also had a Tissue taking out the Empire Rose, just beating Amelia's Jewel. They were the two class runners in the race. And then Gold Rush Guru taking out the Derby for South Australia. What'd you make of Derby Day really quickly, Bob?
Yeah, Derby Day was good. The track played really well, I thought. As always, you know, it was perfect for conditions for racing. It was a good four. Track was fair. I thought Switzerland was amazing in the Coolmore. He just went to that new level. I never really had much of an opinion of him, especially the two-year-old. But after his last start, just a splitsy ran there, and he backed that up well and truly on Saturday. And he ran a figure of 105.3, and I saw that Dan O'Sullivan has it going a little bit better. They ran really, really fast time, and if he had run that rating in the Everest, which it doesn't work like that, but you know, you put that rating up against the horses in the Everest, you probably would have won by about a length and a half. So hopefully he stays in training next year. I probably think he probably will. Hopefully he can go to Royal Ascot and beat the best over there, because the horse that was beating Asfura at Big Evs, who, you know, Asfura is Asfura, and Big Evs is probably their best sprint over there. He's been retired, so they don't have much going over there over the sprinting distances. So he'll go over there and clean those up, I think, at Royal Ascot next year.
Yep. Speaking of Everest winners quickly, we also had Bella Nipotina take out the Russell Boulding. She went back-to-back in the race, and she actually improved on her Everest figure. She ran to 103.2 in the Everest, and then she ran 104.4 on the weekend. It was a very good tempo set by the stablemate, IME. She just sat in the 1-1. But I don't know if you've had the chance to go back and watch this replay, but it may be
probably
Bella Nipotina's second easiest win ever behind that Mercado.
I actually think, I don't know if it's a controversial opinion, but I actually think she's better over 1,300 to 1,400 metres. Although, you know, she's only been there like four or five times. They're just about as good as she goes when she gets out to that distance range. So, you know, I'd love to see her in I'd love to see them try and stretch her out to a mile. They won't, but that'd be interesting nonetheless. But I think she definitely, you know, definitely 1,400 metres might be her go at this stage in her career, but she doesn't need to because she just won at Everest.
Yeah, 100%.
She's just a great mare.
All right. Happy to move on to
Tissue. Tissue was really good in the Empire Rose.
She was very good, and both of those back up, obviously, a Tissue and Bella Nipotina. But we can talk a little bit more about a Tissue as we get to this preview, because she is running this week, as is Bella Nipotina. The Derby winner, Gold Rush Guru, well, I think I left it out of my quaddie, so I'm still a little bit sick. That was probably the only main regret I had on Derby Day. I had a good Derby Day and a shocking Cup Day, so I gave about half back, but anyway. That's the game. It is the long game. It's a staying test. Melbourne Cup week, and hopefully we can get the chocolates back on firstly tomorrow, Oaks Day, and then Champions Day Saturday. We are going to preview mainly Champions Day. The rail goes out to the 8-metre position, Bot. We don't really know how it's going to play yet, because we've obviously still got a full 8-race card tomorrow. But what do you sort of think? It did play a little bit inside on Cup Day.
I mean, it's too hard to say. They've got eight races tomorrow. I don't know. It's impossible to say. I couldn't tell you. I couldn't give you an answer that's credible.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. We're doing this
just
podcast.
So fair, like it's Flemington.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We're doing this podcast on the Wednesday. We used to do it on the Thursday after Oaks Day, but our listener numbers are a little bit better when we do it on the Wednesday. And also, I'm going tomorrow, so I can't really be.
We're not getting in the habit of fucking Wednesday night podcast. Don't even.
No, not all the time, but this week I think it's fair enough because we've known what these fields are going to be for a while now. So I think we've got a fair idea. Let's get into it, shall we? Race three. It is the Queen Elizabeth over 2,600 metres. Kinesiology is the $2.70 favourite. If you're wondering why they've come here and not gone to the benchmark 96, it's because there's a bonus attached to this race for horses that got balloted out of the Melbourne Cup. So he falls into that bracket. It's definitely a harder race than Tuesday, but nonetheless, he goes up a similar price. $2.70 from Serpentine, $5. Berkeley Square, $6. Ahmad, $7.50, Star Vega, $8.50, and Smokin' Romans, the old boy, is $10. Nick, you keen here? You betting?
I am. I'll be burning Flemington down if this gets beat.
And are you even coming Saturday?
No, I'm not. But it's pretty
hard to burn it down, man.
I've got a team on standby that will burn the fucking joint down. Yeah, well. At least Joe's not riding. That's all I can say. Joe and his ability to ride staying horses at Flemington are not two things that go hand in hand. He had another very questionable ride in the alleged race that stops some people's nations on yesterday. So, I don't think those colours, Joe Marrera, 3,200 metres, are a good combination, and they might not be a combination anymore. But anyway. Frosty looks well placed to kick off his day in a winning way here. I haven't exactly watched a lot of this horse's overseas form. I know that it's solid, and I've sort of just taken a lot of trust on you here, Ben, with your research on this horse. This is obviously a horse we backed for yesterday's fast, and it didn't make the field. So, hopefully he's better than this lot that keep going round and round in circles, which won't be very hard. He's got a lot of narrow margin defeats in his career, so I hope he's not half a CAT. So, anyway, looks a good bet, $6 into, $2.70 now. You can probably see him starting at $2.30 mark. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed. We were able to secure $6. Nico, you got on. I got on. All in. That's obviously looking a fantastic price. This race has been won by these colours the last 2 years, Muramasa and Solcombe, and it has been a fantastic race for the internationals with horses like Francis of Assisi bolted in 2016. You had True Self go back-to-back 2019 and 2020. Morning. Solcombe was first up off the plane. Warning obviously won it as well, but yeah,
there's some if you do average get average horses in this race, like fair dinkum.
Yeah, and I think he's just going to get the perfect map right in behind Serpentine because he's a go forward horse. He's drawn barrier one, Serpentine's going to lead, gets him with 54 kilos. So I'm pretty keen on his chances as well. But I've also backed two other horses all in at very big prices. They are number three. Ahmad or Ahmad got $26 and $7.50 a place. He's now $7.50 a win. He's a horse who would love just a little bit of sting out of the track, but nonetheless, he'll stay all day. Mark Zaron is a great booking. And I've also had something on Star Vega at $19 as well. I thought he was pretty good in the Bendigo Cup last time. He stays on 54 kilos. He meets Berkeley Square pretty similar at the weights for a narrow defeat last time. And over 2,600 metres, I'm just sort of happy to be with the two down on the weights, 54 kilos, and also a maid who I just know will stay. Will, do you have any thoughts?
No, not really. This horse comes over with a time form rating about 112, so you got to adjust that to the weights. So it's, there's an Epsom Derby winner in here. Like, it's not a bad field. It's I couldn't bet the race. It makes the race too confusing for me. Like I backed it on last Saturday. Oh no, on yesterday for Tuesday.
Yeah,
it's been a long week. And it got scratched, and you know, I thought it would have just won the Macca's run or whatever.
Yeah, well, let's hope he just wins here.
Yeah. I couldn't back him on the price.
Yeah, it's a harder race, but you might end up getting $3 in the end. We'll soon find out. It could go Nico's way. It could go Bot's way. We'll soon see.
I don't really care which way it goes because it's not going to be. He's not going to start the price wear on it. So
yeah, he's not starting sixes. Race four is the always welcome stakes, 1,200 meters. Nadal is $3.40 off the big rating last start win. Ray Magnerio well backed into 4.20. Front page, Izzy Fresh only. He's $4.60. Moby Dick is $13 and Robrick is $15. Nico, you want to go first?
This race is giving me a headache. I've got it down to three horses, then it's down to two horses, and then you look at the jockey bookings and it's two people that I question their competence, and now I'm really stuck between a rock and a hard place. I don't trust Mick D, and the camp reckon the horse is better around the bend. Then you've got Ray Magnerio, who is in desperate need of a jockey change, but he's ever so consistent. Front page will definitely decline second up, as he does his whole career second up. He's fresh only. So, yeah, the race is between the top two, but I'm getting to the position where I'm probably going to force a decision, and I probably should just not have a bet once I get to that point. So, yeah, I don't know. I just don't love the jockeys for either.
Yeah, fair enough. Will, are you taking a bit of a leap of faith here with Rafa?
Yeah, I mean, like I'm not all over the race. I haven't done it as in depth as I'd love to, but you know, Nadal's last start rating does stick out. I love the splits around there, so I love the improvement that he made first up to second up. You know, he was off a long break and the market kept him pretty safe there, and they loved it last start too. So I reckon I'll probably be on the dial, but I'm, you know, I can't promise that.
Yeah. $6.50 was the price that Bet365 went up for Ray Magnerio, and I saw that and I just thought, that's over. So I took it. He's drawn Barrow 15. He's on the backup. I thought he was chopped out for a run at a crucial time on Saturday. And I think with a 100% clear passage, I know he still had his chance to run Mahaba down, but I think he probably should have beaten Mahaba. I love that he's only fourth up here. I love that he's on the backup. And his ratings are just so, so consistent around this sort of 95 range. If he runs to that number, he's definitely going to run top three. I like where he's drawn. It's probably going to be a good place to be, and he can sort of just tag the speed and finish home down the outside rail. So I do have him on top, but if I get $4 for Nadal, I'll probably end up backing him as well, because he exploded last start, as you said, but his last start figure is easily the race best. He wasn't quite as good the start prior down the straight, but I'm willing to put that down to a wet track.
He was off a long break too, on a wet track.
Yeah, yeah, correct. So I think he'll improve second time down the straight, back onto a dry surface. If he holds his rating or improves off last start, God forbid, then he does look the most likely winner. Front page, 59.5 kilos. He's better first up. Is he better at Randwick? I tend to think so. So I'm 9-4 only.
Front page sort of He was well. He was sort of fancied to win that race, the Kosciuszko, because he's won it the last couple of years, hasn't he? And you know, he got a relatively easy time of it. They went even. They didn't go super quick, and I thought he was, you know, a little bit disappointing. So he might be just past.
He's
a horse that they can't. He can't. He's just a horse that they can't get much work into because he's got so many issues.
I will just say, J-Mac gave him a big. It was either a big right hand or a big left hand, and he absolutely hated it. He spat the dummy last start in the Kosciuszko with about 100 metres to go. He laid into the rail, and I think the beaten margin...
Looked like he nearly broke down.
But as soon as J-Mac hit him with the stick in the other hand, he just absolutely hated it. So yeah. I would say his rating and the fact he dropped off so much in that last 50 meters, you can sort of, I don't know, you can sort of forgive it a bit, but the stats don't lie. His fresh stuff is a bit better than his second up stuff, and his Flemington stuff is probably a little bit inferior to his Randwick stuff. So I'm going to be willing to sort of take him on. All right, there's going to be fireworks here because race five is the Matriarch Stakes. It's 2,000 meters. It's for the girls. Hinged is $3.50 favorite from Firestorm, $5.50. Quickster's $8. Private Legacy, $10. Little Mix, $11. And Lady Jones, $13. Nico is going to absolutely roast me here because I've backed Hinged all in. I've got a very good price at $11. I think this is her day. If she produces her figure where she got within a lip of Buckaroo, I think it was three starts back, she ran to 100.1 that start, she will absolutely lap these. I thought she was solid last week in the Rose Hill Gold Cup. She only got beaten a half length. She came up the inside, was that slightly inferior going behind a horse named Faulkner Park, who was back to somewhere nearer his best. She draws beautifully in barrier seven. She gets James McDonald on board, and she gets him with just 55.5 kilos. Of just 55 flat, sorry, because this is a set weights and penalties race, and she obviously hasn't won for a long time. So there are some horses here that are giving her weight. Like her stablemate is no better horse than her, actually a worse horse than her, Molly Bloom, has got 59.5 kilos. Hinge just gets in so well here. She rates on top, and I haven't backed her all preparation, but I'm on Saturday. Let me hear it, Nico.
You're fucking terminally ill. Honestly. What's your punishment if she gets beat?
What's my punishment?
Yeah.
Spending a day with you.
Oh, that's a fucking pleasure, not a punishment.
I'm going to back her too, for what it's worth.
Yeah, he's both getting a lay bid.
What price do you need, bot? Oh, is she a bet?
No, I'm gonna back her.
Of course, she's gonna be a bet for him because her ratings are just her worms going one way, his worms going the other, like they're just joining in the middle. Of course, he's gonna back her. Doesn't mean the ratings don't count for the fact that her heart is the size of a pea, and she'll fucking dig her. She'll dig her fucking toes in when the race is there to be won.
I mean, if I get a better price because, like, people reckon she's, like, just nonnies reckon she doesn't like
no,
winning.
No, like, she's a racehorse,
mate. He's a racehorse. She doesn't know what winning is.
She's questionable at that.
So, but are you going to take $3.80 or are you sort of just waiting?
No, I'll take $3.80, I think. I haven't got around to it yet, but I'm going to back her. I think she's like a 260 chance.
Oh, I love to hear that so much.
Chris Waller, it'll be one out, one back. I can, like, it's just going to be, and it'll win by two.
This is it. This is a tissue 2.0 in the matrix.
Oh, do not even compare tissue and hinge in the same conversation, you sick fucks. Dead set. Do not ever disgrace a tissue like that ever again.
Nah, she's not as good as a tissue, but she almost...
She's like Wish version. Temu version.
Another 5 meters, three starts ago, she beats Buckaroo, who's the second best weight for age horse in the country right now.
Oh, fucking Sustainer. Second best. Give me a spell.
He is. He should have won a Caulfield Cup. He ran 3,400 meters in a Melbourne Cup.
Nico, can you remind me what race that was in when Buckaroo beat him? What race was that again? Do you remember that?
Irrelevant race in Sydney.
was that the Chelmsford?
It was the Chelmsford.
When it jumped.
Time honoured Chelmsford. What a fucking race. Hanging in the Louvois, punters. Hanging in the fucking Louvois.
Hey, swear jar, Nico. You're gonna have to sit in the naughty corner for 5 minutes.
You two will be in the naughty corner and you won't be coming next week when she gets beat. I'm doing a solo pod.
There we go. Turn up to a review for once, would you?
No. It's not in my contract. I don't have to turn up to those things.
Contract.
All right, let's move on. The very entertaining matriarch there.
Maybe they should have had this race open for you to swing your cock at call of the card bot so you could have backed it.
Yeah. What? Well, I didn't think we'd be talking about Bott's worm, but that's the path that Nicko wanted to go down with.
You would have fit right in with all the egotistical wankers that call the card.
You should come next year, Nicko. All right, let's move on. I've got to steady this rocky ship. Race 6 is the champion sprint. It is the first leg of the quaddy, and Bella Nipotina, we think she's backing up. She's drawn barrier 12 of 12. She's back in distance 100 metres from Giga Kick. Obviously, he ran second in the Everest. He's 4:40. Overpass is $6. Sunshine in Paris, $6.50. And Barrakeel, the new kid on the block, is $9, followed by Ballatrix Star. The best of the fillies in the Cornwall ran second is $13. Bella Nipotina, $4, obviously. How are we tackling this race, Bott? I've already got some bets sort of lined up already, but give us an unbiased assessment.
I don't know. Like, I think this race is really, really tricky. I think Giga Kick and Bella Nipotina are both slightly too short. I loved what Barrakeel did last time, but, you know, it was... You know, he did do it, and he beat the clock, and, you know, he did beat the clock. The clock doesn't lie, but you still want to see him still measure up to... It's still a big step up, even though he still won the rating. Like, I don't know, and Overpass is there or thereabouts too. I don't really want to bet into this race. I thought if I was going to have a better proofback, Barrakeel, but I noticed it's been 11s into 9:50, so... yeah, I could probably still back it, but yeah. I think Bella Nipotina. Yeah, I probably do, and I'll back it. But I thought Bella Nipotina. I just think she's better at 1300 to 1400 meters, so she might come off what she did last time. They went quickly there. She might not appreciate being backed up, but I don't know. She's so consistent. It'd be stupid of me to suggest she's going to come off her form. So I thought Giga Kick. You know, the rust came off the first two runs, and then they went to the Everest and he ran a massive race. So, and he has the ability to go to that next level that, you know, some of these don't quite have. He has that in the locker. So I think Giga probably should be favourite. But I'm not a super confident race.
Yeah. Nicko?
Yeah, I think there's two winning chances here, and they're both at the top of the market. I think I've had a little nibble at Bella Nipotina already at a bigger price. Should have had more on. Unfortunately, I was a moron. Didn't have it on. But yeah, I think if she's here, she's got every box ticked. Fucking hell, speak.
Try again.
She's got every box ticked, and she'll be just extremely hard to beat. You're not worried about the backup with her. She's an iron horse, etc., etc. And I think... I think the logical danger to her is Giga Kick. He's also drawn in a good part of the track. He's just taken racing to get himself fit off such a long layoff. And I thought he was only going to win the Everest last start. So, yeah, we've seen the Everest form being Frank with Bella coming out and winning again. And, I'm really excited to see Giga Kick back down the Flemington Straits. It's been a track that he's raced ever so well at. And, yeah, it does look a great race for him also.
Yep. I think the interesting thing with this race is the speed is all drawn to the inside. Overpass is drawn in 2. Estriella has drawn in barrier 4. And then although wide barriers are usually the place to be down the straight, Bella Nipotina is drawn out in 12 and there's not much early speed around her. So it's going to be interesting. They're probably all going to come up the middle. And I think Giga Kick might actually get the best run in the race, drawing 7. He'll be a little bit closer to Estriella, Overpass, Barrakeel, and sort of just peel off there back at the right time. He does look set to peak. Fourth up, he was awesome in the Everest, made a big improvement there last start. He's obviously not getting back to his old numbers just yet, but he might only be one run away from that. If you watch the Everest replay, he also kicks himself with about 50 metres to go and costs himself a little bit of momentum. So I would actually potentially have him on top. I've backed him at $7 all in. Bella Nipotina, the news dropped that she was a potential backup. We've got $10 for her. I also got a bit of $9 for Overpass. So if I don't find the winner there, then I might have to dial Nico's contact and burn Bott and Flemington down.
Me? What do I do?
Well, you'll both be crying because Hinge will have got beat and you will have done your nuts on that play earlier in the day.
Yeah. Sure, it'll be interesting who goes to WA after this. Will it only be Overpass or will some others go over for the winter bottom like Barrakeel, Ballina Patina?
I think Barrakeel has a chance of going over.
Yeah, he is. But he's also got a slot in that that $1 million meteorite race at Cranbourne now as well.
God. How far would he win that fight? Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, we're trying to get him.
That's going to be a cracking series. That's very good innovation from Southside Racing.
Yeah, they're doing some good things Southside.
There's going to be some really good horses that go to the 1,200 at Cranbourne and the 1,400 at Pakenham. I know Mahaba's going that way. Yeah, you should you might get a Magic Time or something like that. You're going to get genuine Group 2.
Magic Time's not turning up to Cranbourne.
Why wouldn't she?
Because it's Cranbourne.
She's fucking trained at Cranbourne, you idiot.
Yeah, whatever.
It is going to be weird to see such good horses go around at Cranbourne.
That'll go there.
And put them around the Syntho. Put them around the Syntho at Pakenham.
Pakenham's one of the best tracks in the country. So
do me a favour. I don't think I've ever backed a winner at Pakenham.
Hey, Bot, just quietly.
Yeah, that's just because you're a shit punter, not because of
the meteorite. The meteorite will still rate better than the Melbourne Cup. Just putting it out there.
No, the Melbourne Cup,
especially on Melbourne my Cup's database. Outrated.
The Cup's outrated the Cox Plate
in
the last few years.
I'm talking official ratings. I'm not talking your weight for age.
Oh, who cares about official ratings, mate? I mean,
your wanky worm ratings.
Because Barrakeel won the McEwen, if he does end up going to the Meteorite, then there's a good chance he'll be our slot runner because Moonee Valley Racing Club has a slot.
What a fucking rort that is.
How good is that? We'll be taking out the first Meteorite ever.
The inaugural.
So if he wins this, then they'll probably go straight to Perth because they're too good for a meteorite. But if he runs like fourth or fifth, then they'll probably rock up there.
Well, there's every chance that happens.
All right. Race 7 is the Champions Mile. And fair to say, lads, this is one of the races of the spring.
Of the year.
It features Pride of Jenny, $4.60 favorite. She's been backed. She's got a new jockey. What about the drama? Declan Bates booted.
That disgusts me.
Can't believe it. But she's $4.60 from Antino. Massive win in the Toorak is $5.50. Mr. Brightside, $6. Broadsiding draws a car park, $6.50. Fangirl, $7.50. Another Will, $10 on the backup if he runs here. Steffi Magnetica was so unlucky in the Golden Eagle, $13. Amelia's Jewel, $16. And My Oberon, $23. Just a quick map. Obviously, we know who's going straight.
Who's
going to
lead?
And that is Pride of Jenny. But
maybe they're going to ride her with some cover.
We'll get to that in a sec. But I think the horse that will come across and try to apply some early pressure is probably Desert Lightning. We've seen him go forward before. But other than that, I don't know a whole lot else, but what do you think of the speed?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Fangirl probably near last, so new energy. Steffi Magnetic is probably going to be midfield. Pinstripe, they'll probably go back on it. I don't know what they do with Antino. It just sort of depends on if he misses the start by 2 lengths again. Because he has made a habit of that. And I guess
Blake Shin often negative?
Oh, I mean, if you're talking about like ride to ride, like the Toorak ride was one of the best rides time, so it's gonna be hard for anyone to replicate that. So you know, I'd definitely have him coming off his best. Broadsiding would go back too. So,
Another Will. What does Declan Bates do on another Will? Obviously, he's got Pride of Jenny, a horse he knows so well. He won't want to be too far away from barrier two.
Yeah, I mean, he probably wants to be sort of 3 lengths off her. I don't know. It depends how fast Ben Mallum goes on. But yeah, that's the thing. Like, Declan Bates has just got it so right a lot. It's like so often on Amelia's Jewel. I mean, Amelia's Jewel. Pride of Jenny. I just don't understand the booting him. It's just really bad. And he's such a massive part of it. And I think a lot of her success has been because of how well he's ridden her. Because I don't think it's talked about quite enough how ridiculously well he has ridden her throughout, you know, the stretch that she has had. Like, he's just got it so perfect, and maybe slightly overdid it at Moonee Valley, but
she's overachieved a little bit in her career because of some of the rides he's given her.
I don't know about she's overachieved. She's run the time. Like, you know, she does things on her own terms. Like, she's
got the most out of her.
Yeah, exactly. So, and Ben Malham's not a notorious front-running jockey, is he? So, I
don't know. I've got a theory. See what happens. I've got a theory. Ben Malham is a moral to go too slow on Pride of Jenny on Saturday.
No, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
He's going to go too slow, and she's going to get swamped. Because they're going to take away her best asset, because Tony Otterbrey is going to go, Declan Bates slaughtered her in the Cox Plate. He went way too fast. She got tired.
Right for a turn of foot.
She put up the white flag at the 500, and now they're going to go too slow.
Click her up at the clock tower, mate. Just out sprint them.
Oh. I'm against the horses coming through the Cox Plate here. Back to 1600 meters. They've had a tough run there. Like, you know, take V Sestina for what she's worth in the next race. But I think assessing this race on its own, I'm against the horses coming through the Cox Plate. They ran fast time. They got beaten a long way. I think it would have taken a lot out of horses like Pride of Jenny, Mr. Brightside, broadsiding a young three-year-old. So I'm going to back a few around them. I'm going to back Fangirl. I think, you know, like Pride of Jenny, as I said, I think when she goes really fast, that's Fangirl's kryptonite. But I don't think they're going to go as fast. And James McDonald, Barrier 9, perfect. I think she looks incredible value at her current quote. I've backed her at $8.50. She's only fourth up. There's a real sense of timing with her, and I can't believe the price. I'm also going to back Antino, hoping to get better than 550. Like, 650 plus would be unreal. If he repeats his Toorak figure, which he won't, then he's obviously the winner. I think he ran to 106, which is better than any of these horses this preparation. And the other horse I want to have something on is My Oberon. This horse is just an absolute rock-solid miler. He only got beaten a long neck by Pride of Jenny last start in the King Charles. Draws Barrier 6 for Nashville Willer is $23. I think that's over the odds. And I've also had something really tiny on Von Hawk. But I'm betting around some of the class horses that come through the Cox Plate. I think they might be a bit flat. And I think the horses that have been set for this, that have stayed at 1,600 metres, are the ones we want to be on.
Huge.
Yeah, I think Fangirl's probably the bet as well. I just, you know, I think Chris Weller's circled this race for her. You know, he had Via Sestina for the Cox Plate, and, you know, he wants to win the big mile, because, you know, last two turn up at the Cox Plate with her, tried to win the King Charles as well, and then rocked up here. And, you know, I don't think she was over the top. I think she was just inefficiently ridden. And, you know, she came through two really slowly run races, first and second up, and then ran into Pride of Jenny off 28 days, third up. And then, you know, out of that race, it'd be a perfect platform for a fourth up. And, like, there is that query, like, can she get back to her best? Because she, you know, she almost had a career-ending injury, I think, leading to the preparation. So, you know, she came off a feet. Like, yeah, so I just... I think she's probably about at 750. That's a great price, I thought.
And we've already seen Amelia's Jewel bounce out of that King Charles, even though she was well beaten, and she ran huge in the Empire Rose last week. I think Fangirl's going to do the same thing. Nico?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think you can lay Jenny until you hurt no longer. She should be in the paddock. And it'd be nice for a bit of karma to come Tony's way, because I don't think Dex's done anything wrong. At the end of the day, it's his horse. He pays the bills. Whatever. I don't agree with it. But, yeah, it'll be very interesting to see the fallout from this. But, yeah, I think you can take Jenny on. And yeah, I think this is a target race for Fangirl. I suspect her to be in a nice position, be close to a pretty slow speed and rip home with the best turn of foot in the race, which I think she does have. So, yeah, I was happy to be with her. Got a bit better than $8. I can't believe she tumbled in and now she's tumbling back out, but I got no doubt that she will firm back in at some point. And when I first looked at this race, I wanted to be against Dantino with the gate, but the more that I looked at this race, the more that I was a bit the same as you. I sort of want to dodge that that Cox Plate form just a little bit, just because I know the acid test that a few of those horses were given in the Cox Plate. So I've had something fangirl at Dantino, and I have just covered my stake with Mr. Brightside. I know he does come out of the Cox Plate, but he's just ever so consistent. He loves Flemington Mile. He's going to get the gun run again from Barrier 4, and you just know that he will give his all. I suspect that there may be a couple better here, but to me, if he won at $6 and I was left on the floor, I'd be a little bit shitty with myself. So I'm happy just to get my money back. If he wins the race, that's okay with me. But yeah, I've had nice bets on Fangirl and Dantino. Another Will. I'm excited to see where he gets to another step up to this time to wait for age group one company. I'm not 100% sold that he'll run. The talk is that he's going to the Rupert Clark. So I don't suspect that he will run here and then back up. So yeah, that'll be interesting to see. And I love broadsiding, but it's a negative jockey change and he's back to the mile and he's drawn gate 13. So it's like...
He's got a drift.
Yeah, I think so. So yeah. I'm happy to be a Fangirl Antino, save the stake with Mr. B, but you know, I think there's a race where you're going to get fairly rewarded for an opinion. So cracking race, can't wait.
Yeah. I also just have a bit of an opinion about another Will that I'm not sure if his best distance is a mile. We've seen him in a few high-pressure miles now, and he has been sort of well-beaten in a Toorak and a Doncaster mile. So back to 1,400 metres next week. Well, not back to, sticking to 1,400 metres if they decide to go that way. I think that is a better race for him in terms of his winning chances anyway. We'll be up against Jimmy Starr again. All right, let's move on to race 8. It is the TAB Champion Stakes, and it features the Cox Plate winner. Not just any Cox Plate winner, potentially one of the best Cox Plate winners of all time. Not in terms of the horse that she is, but in terms of the performance anyway. She won by 8 lengths. It was the equal biggest winning margin ever with Winx's Trump over Hartnell back in 2016, I think it was. Yeah. And she beat the track record by nearly 2 seconds. So she's a $1.70 favorite from a tissue, $8. Without a fight, $10. First up, does look fit. Alias, $12. Duke de Sessa, we've got the Caulfield Cup winner as well, $15. And Docklands is also $15. Will, give us your assessment of this race and how short you've marked the mare.
Oh, I mean, it's hard to not mark her. Ridiculously short off last time. And you know, it's sort of uncomfortable having it like that short. But like, what do you do? Like... She ran 114 last time. I don't want to have her running 105. Like, I don't know that. I mean, you can make her as short as you really want. Like, $1.18 is the price I have. Like, how do you not have her that price? Like, I mean, I don't. And at the same time, even though I have that price, like it could be somewhere between $1.08. Like, it could be literally between $1.05 or $2.80. Like, somewhere between there. I have no idea. Do I want to back her? I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. I'll figure it out on Saturday. I mean, like, technically speaking, I probably should, but it's, yeah. I mean, even if she just runs to her terminal rating, she probably still wins anyway. I don't think there's that much good. Like, the Melbourne Cup, like, last time the second favourite run was in the Melbourne Cup when it won. So, you know, he's fit, but, you know, it's different being fit in under race pressure, you know, so...
Tissue is a second favorite.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Tissue's second favorite. She's not second favorite. She shouldn't be second favorite. I mean, she's just like sort of second favorite because something has to be second favorite, I guess. Mm. I think Without a Fight probably should be the second favorite.
He's not a 2,000 meter horse, surely.
I don't know. It's just that he can run to a really high level. Like if she runs what she can run, like the only thing that can possibly beat her is him. But like. He's off a year, so I mean, I think that you can't back any other horse than her in the race, I don't think. And it just depends on if you're comfortable taking whatever price she's going to be. So,
yeah.
At least she probably starts like $1.45.
Yep. Well, obviously, I wanted Broadsiding with Jamie Carr to be here, and I was happy and confident to have a bet Hamburger with a lot. Back him, lay her. Because I thought she would be like sub $1.50, and he would be here with some resistance. And I genuinely think that her regressing, him seeing that pressure for a second time, could beat her. But unfortunately, they've gone back to the mile, negative jockey change, giving Broadsiding none, probably shouldn't run. And Via Sestina is just going to turn up and win another Group 1, which is fine. You're getting $1.80-ish. That's pretty fair, I think. And yeah, probably with her by default now. Yeah. Don't know what Chris Waller's doing with his issue, John McNeil, like giving the horse absolutely zilch. He's going super, and then you just put him on. Like, what are you doing?
Surely he, Nash.
Oh, like, what the fuck is going on, Chris?
Put Nash on. He's every time there's been a favourite in a big Group 1 over 2,000 metres over the last few years, Nash has been the one who's pulled out these unbelievable rides out of his ass
to beat the hot pot.
To beat the hot pot.
Yeah.
Think it over. He's done it on a few different horses. But Think It Over is probably one of the more famous examples. Yeah. Why would you not put Nash Rewilla on a tissue? Maybe they don't want Via Sestina to get beat. That's probably the reason. She should be winning. She's drawn barrier four. She gets a perfect map. She's ran to 114.1 last start on Form King. You'd probably have her regressing a few lengths at least. If she gets back to 106 even, she wins this, because a tissue can probably get to about 104 at her absolute best. And then over 2,000 metres, I don't think there's anything really else that can. So we backed her at the very start of spring. We haven't had enough on, but we were able to get $10 for Via Sestina. I heard that she wasn't always going to go here, so I ended up backing a tissue $9, Docklands $21, and we also got a bet on Royal Champion each way at around 40-1. But yeah. They could all be donations, because Via Sestina, if you're taking quaddies, you probably want to take one or two legs of the field and maybe take her one out. All right, gents. Anything else for Flemington?
No. Questions?
No.
No, we got Sydney first. Quickly first. I'll just quickly race one. Anglund. He has got very, very good ratings on the board. Gets in well with 54 and a half kilos, draws well for Mickey D, barrier six. I think the step up to the miles, no worries, taking $4 there. And in the last, Pisanello absolutely went through the roof last start, returned better. I think he might have come back gelded, managed to secure 450 for him. The knock is barrier one, and it is a fair knock given it's the last race of 37 races in a week down the straight. It just might not be the place to be, but anyway, I'm happy to back in the best horse, and I'm also backing in number four, Along the River, who gets the 3 kilo claim. Ryan Houston, he does owe me a good ride after Friday night last week at the Valley.
What was that?
Road cone.
Yeah, road cone. Yeah. Gee, more like witch's hat. So one's John Barrier 1 and one's John Barrier 19.
His last start on the side of the road.
His last start beating Mantua was really, really good, and he put a few lengths on it. So I think it's slightly over the odds at $19 Along the River. All right, Nico, let's go over to Rosehill Gardens. We're only going to look at a few races. The Rails and the True. I've got one that comes up in race six. Its name is Icarian Dream, the filly, number seven for Kieran Maher and Jason Collett. On Form King, her rating in the Warwick Farm Maiden actually rated quite well, even though to the eye, it probably didn't look that impressive. Maybe the time wasn't fantastic, but I'm just going to trust that this is over the odds. I got $9.250 a place. Her trials were really, really good leading into the gym crack, so much so that she was the favorite over Belle Mercy before she got scratched. Not sure why she got scratched, but nonetheless, she went to Warwick Farm, she won, I think the step up to 1,100 metres is perfect. Barrier 4 is perfect. And North England, I was with him last start, but I honestly think he's a little bit squibby. And at the end of 1,100 metres, I don't really know if that's what he wants. So Icarian Dream each way. I would be a little bit surprised if she misses top three. Race 7, Nico, is the hot Danish Stakes. Magic Time, 240. Belclair, 330. Alentia, 550. Arctic Glamour, 750. Navy on the Highway, 16. And Rose Bloom, 21. You and I both get a strong whiff of Waller Fever here, I believe.
We do. Yeah, I think Magic Time's ridiculously priced. Even though it was a funky track last time, I think she has a lot of negatives here. She gets barrier 10, goes Nash to Zach. I know Zach's riding a lot of winners at the moment, but...
negative.
It's a negative, 100%. And it's no knock on Zach. I just think, like, sometimes he still has a bit of a, like, I don't give a fuck factor. Like, if he's on, like, if it's not like... How do I describe this right? I still just see some rides that he gives and it's like there's just a lack of care. Like, unless the horse, like, he doesn't get every inch out of every horse. Like Nash. Nash will ride the ears off things and get every...
He's still a kid at the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah. And that's no knock on Zach. I just think that, yeah, what you get with Zach, with what you get with Nash, this horse needs vigour. Not to say that Zach won't, but Nash has had a fair affiliation with his horse, so yeah, it is a negative, and the map is very yuck for it. I think it could be wide, no cover, where Alentia just looks to get gun run. Again, classic Waller, booming first up, lull second up, peak again third up. This is a pattern that has been successful not only for Alentia in the past, but a lot of Waller horses. Yeah, and I think around that $6 mark, which is what we took a few hours ago, but he seems a very good price.
Yeah, I completely concur. Magic Time just looks way too short at $2.40. I was with her last start, and I was thinking, how has she been beaten by Belclair? It was a bit of a funky race. She's drawn barrier 10 of 10 here. I think there's a fair chance that she'll be three wide no cover early because she's a natural go forward horse. Zach Lloyd on her, that's a negative. At the end of the day, he's still like, is he still an apprentice or has he just come out of his apprenticeship? He's right on the border anyway.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just happy to be against her from a price perspective. Belclair, like this thing SP'd 30 to 1 last start, leading all the way, and now you want to take, now you're asked to take $3.30.
Yeah,
Alentia, last preparation, she exploded first up, as Nico said. She then came off her form. She went around $2.70, got beat over two lengths by Chain of Lightning and Co. And then third up, everyone forgot about her. She started $6.50. She put nearly three lengths on Arctic Glamour. She absolutely bolted in. And that's the exact same setup here. She's been a little bit forgotten about as $6. She's drawn perfectly in barrier 5. And it's Tommy Berry against the kids. Tommy Berry drawn barrier 5 against Tyler Schiller and Zach Lloyd. There's just so many positives here to be on Alentia. And 1,400 metres is probably her best distance. I also just want to have something small on number 7, Rose Bloom, which is the other Waller horse. She does have some decent French form. Back home, I thought her trial at Rose Hill was very good, given a very quiet trial, and draws nicely in barrier 3 for Joe Moreira. So I think it's slightly over the odds. I'm team Waller here. Yeah, I just can't get sucked into Magic Time or Belclair. I think they're both under the odds. Oh. Race 8 is the 5 Diamonds. It's over 1,800 metres. It is a set weights and penalties race. So the interesting thing is Docklands is a $5 favourite with no jockey. So does that mean he's going to Flemington? Good chance. Gets him perfectly with 56 kilos. Attrition has got to carry the 59. $5 and $6.50 respectively. Territory Express, 650. Lindemann, 750. I Know a Star, 750. And Kingswood is second emergency, $8. He needs a few scratchings to get in. Nick, what'd you make of it?
Yeah, well, this race is all going to change complexion depending if Docklands is running or not. I don't think he will. Yeah, I don't think he will, and I think attrition is a respectable favourite. It'll be good for Brenner and Co. to get another big race victory and steal some more of that Sydney money. Yeah, he just ticks a lot of boxes here. He's clearly got the best form in the race. And, yeah, I think he'll be extremely hard to beat. I think Lindemann, he did his job for us last time, but I think he probably wants 2,000 metres now. A lot of these Sydney horses take it in turns running against each other. And the fly in the ointment is... Well, there's two questionable horses, like two horses with question marks on them. The import for Kieran, Relentless Voyager. Keen to see how he goes because he ran good in the Ebor. And we've seen that Ebor form franked, albeit over a further distance. And what do you do with Kingswood? He's coming here off a setback. So there's got to be question marks around that. Yeah, it's a race with a lot of questions and not many answers as yet. So there's probably a little bit more to play out rather than it currently sits at 9:08 on Wednesday night.
Yeah,
but attrition.
Yeah, it does seem like Docklands will go to Flemington, but all of a sudden, if they book a jockey tomorrow, then he probably is deserving of favouritism. 1800 metres is probably a perfect distance for him because he was a miler back home in the UK. He did run second, obviously, in a Queen Anne. It wasn't a strong Queen Anne, but he then came over for a Cox Plate. He ran solid in fifth, beaten a long way. But weight for age, back to 56 kilos, draws well. If he's here, then he's obviously one of the horses to beat. Attrition, ran to 101.5 last time in the Hill Stakes. And finally, he draws a gate. He keeps drawing wide. They went forward last time, perfectly ridden by Bo Mertens. So now Ethan Brown, how do you treat that? Is that like Brownie's a great rider, but Bo Mertens does know the horse. So that is just something to take note of. He's got to carry the 59 kilos, but yeah, he's on top for me. 1800 meters yet again. Like I think this is dead set attrition's best trip. A strong, strong 2000 meters is probably still a box that he needs to tick. He was awesome last start. Another probably 20 metres and Kovalika probably beats him over the 1,900 metres, but back to 18 is absolutely perfect. And that import you mentioned, Nico, in Relentless Voyager, I know his form is over further, most of it, but I think he's got too much class to just let go around it, not at, you know, bare. Yeah. So this is a horse who ran second, only beaten a length by Al Arce back home. Like Al Arce is a dead set good horse. So... yeah, I feel like we need to have something on. Kingswood is an improving type. He'll get in a second emergency if Docklands comes out because Desert Lightning's already been scratched. But he still needs to improve a little bit to get to attrition's ratings. All right, that's it.
Yeah.
Any out wide bets Friday, fill up Sunday? Sunday feels probably aren't even out.
No, I've got nothing out wide.
Just quickly tomorrow, if people do listen to this in time, Flemington race 2, number 1, Kalos. There is so much speed in this race and I think he just gets the absolute perfect setup. He draws barrier 5, James McDonald. His trial between runs was awesome. He was unlucky not to finish a lot closer to Bellatrix Star last start in the Scalacci. And I think he's just set to peak here. I think he's clearly the best bet. You've got horses like Oscar's Fortune, Recommendation, Acromantula, Way to the Stars, Katsu, Philosopher, Frilled. They are all go forward horses. And I think they are all going to slice each other up. He's going to sit in behind them and go whack. Took $3.80. I've got Powers of Opal on top in the Oaks. I think she turns the tables on Treasure of the Moment. They got the stablemate, John Sargent. Has said Inevitable Truth will go forward from barrier 1 and set a good tempo with Gay Waterhouse's horse, Killcare Beach Girl. So they've drawn 1 and 2. They're going to ensure a good tempo.
Make yourself useful, McNeil.
Treasure of the Moment did beat us fair and square last start, but I feel like the slow tempo suited that horse a lot more. turn a foot horse. I think after 2,500 meters, Powers of Opal can be the one. But it's a pretty open Oaks. I'm also going to have something small on Femineal, a good roughie at $26, potentially in the inferior ground last start. And you look back to that Morphettville win, she's just got Stayer written all over her. And also Rag Queen, I think, will stay all day. So those are the two roughies that I'll be putting in my quaddie and having something small on. Nick, Thursday Oaks tips?
Yeah, well, we pretty much align with our Thursday plays. I followed you in with Kalos as much to my disgust. I was taking it on trust that there is a lot of speed in this race and there's a lot of control freaks that also don't like heating up. So if he's ever going to win another race, Kalos, it should be tomorrow. I didn't mind O2 good in the Country Series final, but gate 16, it's going to need a good ride from Frosty, and I thought you probably want closer to 350 than their current quote. I don't know if you're going to get it, but if it got down to like 350-ish, I'd consider it. Yeah, more than happy to go back to the well with Powers of Opal. Yeah, we didn't get rewarded on Saturday for our good work, but I'm confident she will repay us tomorrow. And I think Poison Chalice is immoral in the last.
Oof.
Looks to get his perfect setup, wide gate, swoop, D lane. Was unlucky last start in the Crystal Mile. And yeah, this horse has always possessed a lot of ability. He's up in a race tomorrow where there's a lot of horses with convictions. Like Light Infantryman, second favourite, for God's sake. Globe, second up off a long layoff. Got more injuries, got more issues than Bot. Yeah, I just think Poison Chalice looks extremely well placed. If he's ever going to step up and win a race of any nature, he looks destined to make that happen tomorrow.
Sweet. Will?
He's got a serious turn of foot if he's like cuddled and let release. Like,
yeah, and that first up win really put the writing on the wall, yeah, that he might be back or might maybe back even better. Will?
Alma Rise in the race 3, Molly Knickers, and in race 7, I really, really like Bridal Waltz, and she's got pizzazz. But I haven't completely finished the card, but that's tonight's talk.
Bots buying shares in Moody Coleman Racing.
Yeah, you're tipping all the Moody
Coleman races. They are, yeah. I didn't even realise.
Yeah. Where is Molly Knickers again?
Race 4.
Race 4.
She's been really good this prep. She keeps running on. You know, she draws a good gate here. And, she's fourth up, I think.
You've dead set just tipped 4 Moody Coleman horses.
Yeah, I know. I didn't mean to do that, but hopefully Moody and Coleman have a good day on Saturday.
All right.
You're not going back to the well with your mate, Vidad, Benny? Drop 6 kilos, J-Mac on.
He's got no turn of foot.
Which
least,
is why they need to get him out and trip. But
at least
240 seems short.
At least Hinge has got a bit of change up speed. Like, it's not much better, but... Vidad 1800 meters, like, it wouldn't shock me at all if tomorrow is his day, but
both $2 horses, 40. Both lack grit, both lack determination, both lack application.
I'm not taking $2.40 for Vidad. At least give me the fact that I took $11 Hinge and she's now $3.50.
Yeah, well, you'll beat SP, but it'll still be confetti.
All right, we need a back, we need a lay, and we need a pray anywhere around the country all weekend, can be tomorrow. I will go. My best bet. I'll make it tomorrow. Why not? Race 2 at Flemington, number 1, Kalos. I'm going to make my lay of the weekend, Magic Time. What race is that? That's race 7, Rose Hill. And my best each way, this is probably a tough one, but I might go Femineal in the Oaks tomorrow, $26. I also think Along the River, race 9 at Flemington, if they're coming down the outside, then it's 20 to 1 as well on Saturday.
Huge. My best bet would probably be, well, Poison Chalice tomorrow, and I really do like the two bet play in the mile. I think Antino or Fangirl win.
Yep.
Really keen to let Sherlock. I haven't had many bets this weekend, but the bets I have had, I'm very confident with. So I suspect Saturday will be a fruitful day. But yeah, say Poison Chalice tomorrow. I do think he looks a clear standout. And I think you can mark him closer to $2 and $3. By lay, I'm putting you two scoops in the bin with Hinged. fair dinkum.
Hinged is the best bet of the day.
But actual, I don't have a lay. Actual laying horse flesh. Jenny. Lay Jenny the place. Value. Poor. Oh, I just think, like, probably Fangirl's the biggest value. I think you can probably mark her favourite.
Yeah.
And she's like $7.50. Same with Alencia.
Will, she best be bet. You're making Hinge's, her your best bet.
Hinge is the best bet of the day on Saturday.
You're sick. I'm going to... Dead set Waltz. Sick.
Bridal Waltz is the best big odds horse tomorrow. And I don't really have a lay, so I'll leave that one alone.
All right, let's fly through a few questions. Anthony on Twitter. I know First Light was awful last start, but he was ridden upside down, and Waller said he's going to be ridden colder on Saturday. We're getting a good price to find out. Is it worth a couple dollars each way? $19 on the tab, Queen Elizabeth. Any thoughts there?
Who?
Not for me.
First Light. I just sort of think the race is just too hard with the import coming over. Like,
don't even bother. Kids, Leology is immoral.
Yeah. Look, that race at 1-3 back, I just don't know if it's entirely real when it bolted in at Rosehill, and it was a weak Group 3. So, yeah, not for me. I think class will come to the fore in the Queen Elizabeth. Mitch, rail out 8 metres after a busy schedule. How does the track historically play in the circle and the straight?
Is that for me? I don't know.
I can answer it.
Yeah, go. Better track stuff than me.
I think with Flemington, just as much as how important the track actually is, the wind can be just as important. We've seen, like last spring on Derby Day and Champions Day, we saw that really strong southerly get up, and that favoured leaders a lot. But I would say the actual track itself will be pretty good. That inside lanes on Cup Day were compacted, and that meant the inside was a little bit firmer. But with the rail getting out further and further, I think they're going to water the shit out of it tonight. And I've already heard that lane one is starting to break up and lane two as well. So I think they will start to edge off the fence, and it should be pretty fair. In terms of the straight, once it does go out 8 metres, they all come up the middle, basically, middle to outside. So it's less room for them to split in two divisions, if that makes sense. So... yeah, usually it's just middle to outside, but yeah, I'll be going in with a pretty clear mind. Boom Punting. If it ain't broke, .. obviously you don't have to fix it. Bella by how far? Got a couple of likes. His favourite horse, so good luck. Jakey says, all roads Bellatrix star. We didn't really touch on her. Can she win the sprint?
Surprise me. I don't know. She was pretty good on Saturday, but I just sort of think she's a group filly, not a group one filly.
Yeah, she was good, but she still got beaten 3. So, yeah. Ryan Lowe, I laughed at this one. Has Bot given his mum her card back after maxing it out at the call of the card?
No. Keep that one in my bedside table.
Yeah. Not a word.
Can't believe you've got a call of the card, you've backed 2 absolute heartless fleas, and you've just continued it on to the podcast back and fucking Hinged.
Oh, I do best, mate.
Get back in the field.
Camels.
All right, a couple of Instagram questions as well. Sam Tabor, is the quick back up the way? The market usually treats it as a positive, so I think so. It's probably better for 1600 meters to 2000 plus. Sometimes the sprinters, they're not quite as good in the backup, but yeah, probably better for 2000 meter horses. Ruben Evans, Come on, lads, give us another elite roughie to send off Flemington. Hopefully there's one. You won Rhino me a Wolves. Car with... He says, you won me a car with Kingswood. Thank you very
really?
Much.
Really? That's funny. Who said that?
Reuben Evans.
Oh, well, that's great.
He obviously had a big collect. Is the Champions Mile the best field assembled this year?
That's a good question. It's a good close. Race.
You're pretty close.
It's probably not far off.
Mm. Yeah, I'd probably say it almost is.
Yeah, it probably is. I mean, Cox Plate was good, obviously, you had Prognosis, but this is a bigger field, so yeah, it's interesting.
Between the Cox Plate and it.
Coops Irwin, are people who found Knight's Choice on top smart at form or lucky?
The latter.
Probably just picked a number or a name or a colour.
They're like pink and green, I guess.
Yeah, pink and bright green. I mean, who couldn't have found it? Keeps going. He's got bloody five questions. Could you see anyone from the Oaks this year running top four in the Cup next year like Zardozzi did?
No. Definitely.
I could see Powers of Opal running top four in a Caulfield Cup, maybe not a Melbourne Cup.
Yeah.
But who's your mum? Who is your mum's and dog's pick in the champion sprint?
What?
I think this is just playing on the, you know, luck sort of Melbourne Cup tip. Ben, how do you feel that the futures markets to bet on are all drying up? Well, you're actually wrong, Cooper, because they're not, because we still have Hong Kong races to come and we've still got Perth. So they will dry up to some extent, but...
I'm so keen to start doing Perth form properly again. I love Perth.
Yeah.
Good race.
Good joint. Overpass is going to be third up, peaking in the winter bottom, and he's going to shit it in, hopefully. Where does Robbie Dolan's ride rank in the recent history of races?
Oh, it was a great ride.
Of the Cup.
A very, very good ride.
Fuck. Can we stop talking about this fucking race?
Shut up, Nick.
No. It was a great ride. It was a terrible result for most. How about Ladbrokes? Even though 100-1 shot is lost, they've had a complete strip out.
So yeah, good. I mean, and they paid out $3 million for the, was it $3.2 million for that first four? But, like, you know, in the terms and conditions, they don't have to pay out $500,000. But
yeah, that's good of them to do that.
I mean, it's just marketing. If they didn't want to, it's the biggest race of the year, and like it's going to go everywhere. So it's just free marketing for them. It's not free.
They got blessed enough yesterday. They can fucking pay out one lucky punter.
Yeah, I mean, if they only pay out the $500,000 and that punter dirties up, how much worse off are they after it? Because people are going to be like, oh, I'm not going to bet with Ladbrokes.
J-Mac told me the story today. Well,
it's in the terms and conditions.
The bloke's literally got no idea what he's doing. He thought he put it on for 100%.
Yeah, and what did he do?
Well, because he only took the first four numbers and boxed them. So it was would have been $24 for a unit. So he's put $100 on, so he got it four times. And then he was confused. He thought he won like $10,000. And he looked at his account and it was fucking $3.2
million. Wow.
Like the bloke had no idea whatsoever.
Yeah, right. I heard Rayman speaking and that the money was in the account like within the hour, which is pretty good for that amount of money. Ridiculous.
What
ridiculous
would you even payout. Do if you saw that amount of money in there? Well, you wouldn't be. I know what would be happening because I wouldn't already be able to see. I'd have to get someone else to look at it for me.
Yeah, you would. If you won that type of money, you'd probably have to spend just as much money on the medical bill after it. That's what I'd say.
Be a cheap funeral, Ben. Be cheaper than the medical bills.
Yeah, your parents would be proud of you. Don't worry. All right, let's wrap up the podcast there. Thanks heaps, punters. We've had lots of new listeners recently, so make sure you tell your mates. Hopefully you enjoy the listen. Whether we're back on Monday for a review or not, I'm not sure. Usually I book in my sickness for the Monday straight after Cup Week. I'm absolutely cast, but we'll see how we go. As we said, it's a long week. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Hopefully we can get back in front of the ledger if you did have a terrible Melbourne Cup day tomorrow and on Saturday. Thanks, punters. From her reach.
So she ran away in her sleep, dreamed of paradise.